Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Jan. Good morning, everybody. It is Tuesday, October 24th. It's 9:02 a.m. We are all here for the regular meeting of the Annuity and Pension Board, Employees Retirement System of the City of Milwaukee. Jan, can I have a roll call, please?
Ms. Ford?
Here.
Mr. Helling?
Here.
Ms. King?
Here.
Mr. Klusman is excused. Mr. Conrad?
Here.
Mr. Kovac is excused. Ms. Sawa is excused. Mr. Bell?
Here.
Quorum.
We will jump right into item number one, the for the regular meeting, approval of minutes, letter A, the for the regular meeting held September 26, 2023. Any comments or questions regarding the minutes from that meeting? All right, not hearing any, do I have a motion to approve the regular meeting, approval of minutes for the regular meeting held September 26, 2023?
Conrad moves approval.
Helling second.
Thank you, Mr. Conrad, for the first. Thank you, Mr. Helling, for the second. Any objections regarding? Not hearing any, motion to approve the minutes from September 26, 2023 passes. Moving on to item number two, Chief Investment Officer Report. David, are you handling that, or Eric?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a few remarks, but I'll turn it over to Mr. Sauer first to provide the board with the performance update.
Good morning, everyone. The fund ended the month of September with a value of $5.47 billion. The return of negative 2.1% net of fees for the month underperformed the blended benchmark by approximately 37 basis points. The main drivers of relative performance were in manager selection, the primary detractor being private equity. So I gave you a little preview of this when we talked about the second quarterly performance update. So private equity, the reports that came in September, we were actually quite happy with. They were up 2.4%. It's just that you'll remember the way we do benchmarking for private equity. We compare it to, a lagged public equity index plus a premium for that private equity benchmark. So for September, that's a benchmark return for private equity of 8.6%. Because the public markets did so well the prior quarter. So it's really just that's why you see the big detractor here is not anything that our private equity managers did wrong. As I said, we're actually quite happy with a positive 2.4%. It just doesn't keep up with that benchmark. Partially offsetting some of that was real estate. And this is really a timing thing, unfortunately. So real estate added 19 basis points this month, but we do have estimates for a couple reports that are going to hit in October that are going to be negative. So that may all be a wash at the end of the day when that shakes out. And then finally, the overall allocation added 21 basis points, and that was primarily from the overweight that we had to private equity. Of course, that's not an intentional overweight. It's really more a result of, as I said, private equity hanging in there while the rest of our portfolio went down, or you'll hear that called the denominator effect sometimes. So that led to us overweight private equity. And when you're overweight in asset class that has a really strong benchmark return like that, that shows up as benefit and attribution. So that's really what drove that. You can see in the table to the right that the fund has underperformed the benchmark over the year-to-date, one-year periods, while outperforming over the 5, 10, 15, and 20-year periods. Through October 23rd, the fund was down approximately 1.8% month-to-date in October, which brings the year-to-date return to up 1.8%. and the value of the fund to $5.37 billion. 10 out of our 16 active mandates are still outperforming year-to-date, and the fixed income and real assets asset classes are outperforming their respective benchmarks year-to-date. Year-to-date, we've seen an investment change of $117.0 million. We've paid out benefits and expenses of $366.5 million, and we've received contributions of $153.9 million. The withdrawals for the month, it will be $30 million from UBS. This is part of that long-term rebalancing plan that we've been working on with them. And that is an update from what went out in the packet. There was some internal confusion at UBS about what the amount would be, so they initially told us 20. But it is, in fact, 30, and we actually received that money yesterday. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to take them at this time. Otherwise, that concludes my report.
Thank you, Eric. Any comments or questions for Eric? All right, not hearing any, we will move on to David for his remarks. Go ahead, David.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. I just have three things I wanted to touch on. Shouldn't take very long, but our next investment committee meeting is Thursday, November 9th. And our package for that will be going out next Friday. Second thing I wanted to mention, I have some disappointing news. Dave Walters, who we got to know through these virtual meetings. Maybe some of you ended up meeting him in person. He made a family decision to move to another state. And actually his last day was a couple weeks ago. So he made some great contributions. It'll leave a hole in the department. During his short time here. So we technically have two openings in our investment team. The budget office and DER have been great to work with so far. We've actually been able to, the job was actually officially posted to the public on Friday, just a few days ago. So we're in this kind of two-week window where if anybody here at this meeting or anybody listening knows of anybody who might be interested in applying for this job, or if you know of any organizations that might be interested and know of opportunities here that might have people interested, that this isn't the time. We have a small window here to try to get the word out for this. I think is a great couple opportunities here in this department. We'll hopefully get some good applicants that we can evaluate, and if we can get two great candidates, we'll fill both of our open positions. And then the last thing I wanted to mention is, I just wanted to touch one more time on performance, expand on what Eric said. It's like you said, you saw the underperformance year-to-date, one-year time period. I mean, it really is a PE story and a U.S. large-cap growth core strategy when you look at the relative returns. It's becoming a challenging total return story as well with our fund return now around just under 2% net of fees as of yesterday. When you look at what's going on with interest rates, I mean, our fixed income benchmarks are negative year to date with the continued rise in interest rates. I mean, it only makes things more exciting and more compelling going forward because, I mean, we have some fixed income managers that have portfolios that are yielding over 6% right now, which is great on a go-forward basis. It's just this transition from low rates to high rates shows negative marks during this time period. As you know, you probably read higher rates make real estate investments more challenged, so we're seeing negative marks in real estate in an absolute perspective. We're getting low single-digit returns in hedge funds and private equity, which Eric mentioned. Neither one's showing outperformance versus the benchmarks, but hedge funds are kind of playing their fixed income replacement role on a net of fee basis, and And private equity, again, as a reminder, outperformed significantly last year, just as stocks have kind of turned, at least the broad-based benchmarks have turned. Private equity, there aren't enough transactions for private equity to keep up with it on this upswing that we've experienced so far year to date. And, you know, the last piece is really the stock piece. It's interesting, if you're not in, the story there is if you're not, there's about seven stocks that if you have a lot of money in those, you're doing really, really well right now. And if you're underweight those, you're looking at challenge returns even in stocks. Those stocks are stocks like Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, Google, Tesla, NVIDIA. Those stocks are responsible for a significant portion of, for example, the S&P 500's return. If you look at benchmark returns for small cap indices, mid cap indices, value indices, emerging market indices, most of those are actually negative, believe it or not, year to date. And our benchmark, we have those seven stocks, but as a long-term investor that has a value bias and a small bias, this is just not the environment where we're likely to outperform. So that's the story. There's a lot of unknowns too, whether it's geopolitical or just economic related. It's really hard to put out the crystal ball right now and to predict where things are going to end up between now and the end of the year. And as you know, we've talked about this a lot. We have materially reduced the risk in the portfolio. So, I mean, if you have looked at stock market returns over the last few months, I mean, of course, our fund has drifted down with those returns, but we're holding up a lot better than we would have even if you looked at our portfolio at the beginning of the year, just as we've reduced our stock exposure significantly. Those are my prepared remarks. If there's any questions about any of those three things I said or anything else, I'm happy to answer them at this point.
Thank you, David. I have one comment, but I'll open it up first to others. Any comments or questions for David?
Yeah, this is Rudy Conrad. David, how's our absolute return doing compared to the fixed income portfolio? I see the absolute a bit overweighted absolute return. So I assume it's doing better.
Yeah, you know, it has done better. And it's, I mean, we are, it's interesting. I know you understand it, but sometimes it's hard to explain. Our absolute return, the return for our absolute return portfolio is almost, it's a little under 4% positive net of fees. So that's, and our return for fixed income year to date is slightly negative. So if you look at the total returns, absolute return looks a lot better than fixed income. We're obviously glad we had it, and the reason it's in the portfolio is largely to protect in a rising rate environment. Now, when we talk about how we're doing versus our benchmark, the story, this is where it gets confusing, if the story flips, absolute return is underperforming its benchmark and fixed income is outperforming its benchmark. So that just tells you our active managers and fixed income are actually doing what they're supposed to. They're just kind of in a bad place to invest right now with higher rates. Hedge fund managers, I think a 3.8% return is still pretty competitive compared to the hedge fund marketplace and the low beta that we seek in that portfolio. But it's a good story in terms of contributions and returns, but it's holding us back slightly in terms of when we talk about how our fund's doing. Mark.
Okay, thank you. As I recall, David, you were the one who encouraged us to increase our absolute return exposure. So thank you.
Thank you. I mean, it was a collaborative effort. I mean, I know even my predecessor kind of laid the groundwork for the allocation, and then I think we had set aside 5% at one point that when I moved into the role, we started to implement. And we grew it up to 10% when rates were close to zero. So it has definitely helped mitigate some of these challenging environments in the last couple of years with as rates have gone up. So thank you for that feedback.
Thank you, Mr. Conrad. I just have one quick comment. David, just wanted to thank Dave for his service. It was a short time here. I know he was well respected based on his first review. Just wondering if anything came up in the exit interview for the board to know about, or if due to the move, not sure if that's more of a closed session item, but wanted to throw it out there.
Eric, do you mind answering this one, or do you want me to? If you don't mind.
Yeah. No, I'm happy to. I don't think there's anything that Dave talked about that needs to be kept in closed session. It was really, it was a personal decision that he made with his family. His wife had been commuting to Chicago a couple days a week on the train. She saw kind of with the way things were going, back to office, that was only going to increase. So they made the decision to move closer to Chicago to be, closer to her work and her family. And Dave got a job that where he was able to be fully remote and with less travel. So it's just, he expressed how much he enjoyed working here and how, he was kind of sad to be leaving, but, it was something that he had to do family-wise. I know having three young kids and his were a little younger than mine, I know how difficult that can be with all of the logistics. So I couldn't imagine how they were doing it with one of them, taking that train ride down to Chicago multiple days a week. So, we're sad to lose him. It's one of those things that it's tough because it's there's not really anything we could have done, which I guess is good, right? It would be certainly be worse if we had done something to drive him away. But it wasn't that. It was really just the circumstance.
Thank you, Eric. And thank you, David, for your comments as well. Any other comments or questions from members or staff? Not hearing any, we'll move on to item number 3, the Administration and Operations Committee report. Ms. King, are you going to handle that today?
Yes, in the absence of Chairperson Ms. Sawa. We met, the committee met on Wednesday, October 18th at 9 a.m. And the committee deliberated basically on four various items, mostly on our insurance. First, by our property insurance, a presentation was presented by our broker, Brown & Brown. And we had a really good, robust conversation on this property insurance renewal. And overall, and you'll see that in the package, the cost for the insurance has decreased from the prior years, with a notable increase in the property deductibles, about $10,000 compared to Hanover. Because of the infrequency of ever having to use this policy in the past, I don't believe we've ever had to use this, both staff and the committee felt comfortable with the deductibles and recommend approval of the 2023-2024 policy. Switching from Hanover to Cincinnati Insurance Company as presented by Brown & Brown. The second item that we discussed, insurance policy, is cyber insurance. That also had a substantial decrease from our prior year premium with the exact same coverage. The committee did recommend approval of that also. Instead of having several different layers of coverage and several different companies, we are now truncated to child insurance and Star Southwest Insurance. We did We did discuss this. We also had our IT director, Jeff, who was on there, and he opined on this and felt comfortable with this policy also. So that overall is accountability, the hard work that the staff currently is doing, I believe, and obviously the market somewhat, the changes in the market that result in the decrease in the premium cost for this coverage. So overall, great news when it comes to cyber insurance and property insurance. And so the committee recommend approval for that. And third, the committee also recommend approval of our fiduciary insurance, which coverage consists of prior year. The premium increases slightly compared to previous year. Continue to have four carriers, similar to the current coverage that we have. And this also was a recommendation proposal by Brown and Brown. And finally, the committee discussed the banking option fee.
Molly, you probably should go into closed session, Matt and Molly, for this.
Okay.
Great, thank you. Now, Molly, I can close session.
Sure.
Just before, I thought we'd address item A and B quick, just see if there's any comments or questions about that. Not hearing anything on A and B, we'll go to C, the approval of banking service contract. Again, that does require closed session, so please be advised that the Annuity and Pension Board may vote being in closed session. Yep. Item.
Matt, three, letter maybe, C. Maybe we should call for a motion for approval of our renewal of our insurance policies, all three of them.
Let's do that first. So do I have a motion to approve A, the renewal of property insurance, the renewal of cyber insurance?
Board, this is approval.
Thank you, Ms. Ford. Second?
Conrad seconds.
Thank you, Mr. Conrad. Any objections regarding?
No, Mr. Chair, I just want to make sure it is approval for the property insurance, cyber insurance, and fiduciary insurance.
And the fiduciary, right.
Yes, for all three of them, for the approval. Is that everyone's understanding?
Yes.
All right, so then we'll go with Ms. Ford for the first for approval, Mr. Conrad for the second. Any objections regarding? Not hearing any objections, the motion passes. And I will move on to C and read the paragraph here. Please be advised that the Annuity and Pension Board may vote to convene in closed session on the following items. Item 3, letter C, is provided in section 19.85 sub 1 sub E, Wisconsin State Statutes, to deliberate or negotiate the purchasing of public properties, the investing of public funds, or conducting other specific public business. Whenever competitive or bargaining reasons require a closed session, the board may then vote to reconvene in open session following the closed session. Do I have a motion to go into closed?
I'll make that motion, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Ms. King. Do I have a second?
Eileen, second.
Thank you, Tim. Can I have a roll call, please, Jan?
Yes, Ms. Ford?
Aye.
Mr. Helling?
Aye.
Ms. King?
Aye.
Mr. Conrad?
Aye.
Mr. Bell?
Aye, and the time is 9:26 a.m.
Okay, I'll pause the recorder. Thank you.
42 a.m.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Terry. We're back in open session. It's 9:42 a.m. Just have one motion to put forward. It's for item 3, letter C. I have a motion for approval of banking services with the provider discussed in closed session.
Connor moves to
I'll second that motion from the Conrad.
I think I heard Mr. Conrad with the first and Ms. King with the second. Any objections regarding? Not hearing any objections. The motion for approval of banking services with provider discussed passes. Moving on to item number 4, new business, letter A, retirement, death claims, and refunds for September. Go ahead, Jerry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So we'll be asking for a motion to approve the payroll. The regular monthly report is in the packet for retirement death claims and refunds, and it's all routine as usual. So a motion would be in order unless there are questions or comments.
Thank you, Jerry. Any comments or questions? Not hearing any. Do I have a motion to approve payroll for September 2023?
I think I'll make that motion.
Ford seconds.
Thank you, Ms. Ford is second. Any objections regarding? Not hearing any objections, the motion for payroll September 2023 passes. Moving on to item four, letter B, conference requests for October 2023 board meeting. Go ahead, Jerry.
Well, no new conference requests. Our investment team is actively, I know Eric is planning to go to a conference and David as well, so we don't have any new ones being proposed for this month.
Great, thank you, Jerry. Any other comments or questions on conference requests or upcoming requests? Not hearing any. Actually, I do have a quick comment about conference requests. At the last NCPRS conference I attended, it was discussed potentially about doing a presentation at one in 2024. I would be presenting about new trustees and what's it like to be a new trustee after election, and probably give a 1 hour, 90 minute presentation regarding. Just wanted to run it by the other board members or staff to see if anyone had an issue with that before we formalize that. Probably be sometime in fall of 2024. Just food for thought if anyone sees an issue or problem with that or wouldn't like me to partake in that, we can discuss, but I wanted to bring it up to everybody. Moving on to item five, medical reports, letter A, all duty and ordinary disability applications and reexaminations for October. Go ahead, Jerry.
Well, thank you, Matt. I'm going to do the medical panel when it's brief, and then Gus is going to have some comments about the medical council report. So we only have one item on the medical panel report. It's a routine reexamination for Joe Riley. So we're asking for the board approval of the medical panel recommendations in that reexamination. And then on the other reports, Gus has some information about these reports. Go ahead, Gus.
Well, the recommendations from the medical council are all pretty routine re-exams. There was one new application from Virginia Frisky for duty and ordinary disability. The medical council recommended approval of the ordinary disability application and denial of the duty disability application. Yesterday, we received a letter from Ms. Frisky indicating that she wished to withdraw her applications for both. So that's a revision of the report. So Ms. Frisky is not before you for approval and denial. It's just for all the other re-exams that are on the list. And if you have any questions or comments about that, I'll take them. Otherwise, that's before you for your approval.
Thank you, Gus.
Thank you, Gus. Did you have anything to add, Jerry?
No, but just thank you, Gus, for explaining that.
Yeah. Great, then we'll move forward for a motion to approve medical reports for October 2023.
Ellen will make that motion.
Thank you, Tim. Do I have a second?
All right, seconds.
Thank you, Mr. Conrad. Any objections? Not hearing any. The motion to approve medical reports for October passes.
Just as a quick
moving note, on to item five. Oh,
Yeah, this is Mr. Petropoulos. I just wanted to make a quick note about that subject. Her letter will be part of the records, so it's clear in the future if anybody references this. So I should add a that, but thank you.
Thank you, Gus. Moving on to item five, unfinished business, letter A, pending legal opinion and service request report. Go ahead, Jerry.
Patrick is with us, and I think he can speak to the legal opinions, perhaps.
Yes, thank you. Assistant City Attorney Patrick McLean, good morning, everyone. The only comment I have is that I'm pleased to report that the joint and survivor opinion is effectively complete. We were hoping to get it onto this month's agenda, but weren't quite able to due to some final reviews, but we will definitely have it available next month, and please excuse the short delay. Other than that, I'd be happy to have answer any questions anyone has.
Thank you, Patrick. Any comments or questions for Patrick?
Well, thank you, Patrick. Part three of that report, the service request, the contract for banking services before the board, and they just adopted a approved a contract for continuation of our banking services. And then on September 25th, the city attorney's office approved referring a contract for Abbott Capital Private Investors 2024 vehicle to outside counsel, which is Reinhardt. So that's moving along pretty smoothly. Then Matt, we have this pending legislation report that's a little more detailed this month than usual. I think it's worthy of just mentioning that there were some charter ordinances that were relating to the ERS that were adopted in September. This has to do with amendment of the charter in connection with the requirements of Act 12. Those amendments were all adopted implement Act 12. And then there was also a resolution relating to the city's enrollment in the Wisconsin retirement system. And that resolution was adopted on the 10th of this month. I have some more detail in my report about activity in that regard, and I'll wait until then. And everything was, wrapped up at the city council level. And I'll just, as I mentioned, wait for my report to get into a little more of the detail on it. And so that's really all the pending items we have for this report, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. So we took care of letter A and letter B. Any comments or questions regarding those from board members or staff? Not hearing any, we'll move on to item
Patrick, Mr. Chair, I just want to mention Patrick McLean did a great job in working with us and drafting those amendments. And also working with the city clerk's office to get them done. They were voluminous. There was a lot of work involved in that. It went on for a long time. So thank you very much, Patrick, for your excellent draftsmanship. Very impressive, actually.
Appreciate that. Thanks, Jerry.
Okay. Yep.
Thanks.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Patrick. We've put a ton on your plate for the last 9 months and more. So, thanks for all your efforts. Moving on to, thank you, Mr. Conrad, for that as well, for Mr. McLean. Moving on to item six, letter C, the executive director's report, inventory of ERS projects. Go ahead, Jerry.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. So on the personnel update, as was noted earlier, there's a couple open positions. We have benefit services coordinator position that's open. And investment analyst that David talked about earlier, investment analyst senior, that was actually approved. Both of them have been approved at the F&P level for vacancy, to fill those vacancies. So they're moving forward in the recruitment process. Skipping down to member services, we have 40 new retirees on the payroll, and we're anticipating maybe as many as 30 this month for October. And unfortunately, there were 47 deaths in our retiree population. Mike has been working with DER in connection with the open enrollment fairs that the city has set up to answer questions about, you know, our pension and other benefits that the city offers. He's been doing a good job. Most of these are handled virtually now, but I know he gets a lot of questions, and our staff does as well. And so far as we can determine, they're able to handle all the calls, and things are going well. Open enrollment begins, I believe, on the 28th, which is coming up pretty quickly this week. Financial services, we had a total of 293 unclaimed property letters that were mailed out at the end of August, and we received responses from only 94 of these folks. So we continue to routinely pursue these, but in the event that there is no response, ultimately that property escheats to the fund, not to the state. Several years ago, actually many years ago now, Governor Doyle signed into law a provision that allowed the fund to retain these funds, so we don't have to give them to the state of Wisconsin. Hopefully the members will, and their beneficiaries will step forward and they'll get paid, but it's not always possible for that to occur. I think I want to also note on item B that the staff has completed all the benefit recalcs due to members as a result of the 5.8% pension offset lawsuit for members receiving disability benefits. We're still waiting for direction from the court regarding the ability for us to pay, make these payments. There was a stay order, and there is a motion hearing in November. Patrick, do you have any comments on that? Do you have any prospects? Well, it's a hearing, so I guess you can't predict the outcome, but do you have any comments about that?
Yeah, Assistant City Attorney Pat McLean again. These cases have been, I would describe it as frustratingly complicated. There's a lot of moving parts, but you know, distilled down, what we're really waiting on is the plaintiffs to file a motion related to what's called the common fund doctrine, which would essentially seek to acquire attorney's fees, not from the fund itself, but from the amounts, the individual amounts recovered by the beneficiaries. We are opposing that motion for a number of reasons, but until that's resolved, the court has essentially frozen the ERS's ability to make retroactive payments, you know, in essence, out of fairness to plaintiffs, to give them an opportunity to present this motion. The court has frozen the status quo until we resolve that issue. We are hoping to at least have the hearing in November. I don't know if the court's going to be willing to give a verbal ruling or a quick written ruling, but we're hoping to address that issue in November and then potentially have a resolution of it either in December or perhaps early in the next year.
Thank you, Patrick. Thank you very much. Financial services are continuing. We've been named as the city's designated agent for the enrollment of the new employees next year into the WRS pursuant to Act 12. And we've been working through the new employer checklist, that administrative function that was provided by the Department of Employee Trust Funds. That's the WRS unit that manages the administration. And we're on track to make that enrollment happen on January 1st of 2024 to start enrolling new employees in the system. And of course, we're going to cross-charge the city for the administrative cost of that, because it's, we can't expend trust funds to, you know, help administer enrollment for the WRS. And a little bit more on the details on that in just a minute. But first, information services, everything is going well. Jeff has done a great job in keeping us. It's always good to get the Jeff's report, because he doesn't have much to report negatively. Everything is green and go, so we're happy with that. Now, on the last item for administration, I'm very happy to report that on October 12th, the city clerk filed the following documents with the Wisconsin Department of Revenue and the WRS Employee Trust Fund that are all required by Act 12 to enroll people into the WRS. and also, most importantly for the city, to receive sales and use tax receipts beginning at the first of the year. So there was a resolution of inclusion that was filed. That's inclusion in the WRS of new hires, designation of two of our officers here at the ERS as the designated employer agent for the WRS. That would be Daniel Gopalin as Chief Financial Officer and Melody Johnson as alternate Deputy Director. A certified copy of the Common Council ordinance that elected to have the City of Milwaukee participate in the WRS. A certified copy of the Common Council resolution designating by title those folks I just mentioned. And this is now all been completed, so we're good to go. And Terry is working diligently with DER, Comptroller, and ITMD to make sure that the city is able to report wages and service as required by the WRS, and making sure that all of their IT fields get populated correctly. The reporting is monthly for, you know, people coming in and out of the WRS, and then there's a big reconciliation at the end of the year so that they can do their actuarial evaluation, much as we do. And so it all seems to be going well. I'm keeping my fingers crossed because we have, you know, this is sort of an interdisciplinary activity going on with the other departments I mentioned, and so hopefully it's all going to come together. The folks from the IETMD have told us that they don't have any more free time to work on this after this month. So they're booked up with other projects, so we'll be reporting back to you next month, hopefully on the success of getting it all wrapped up. Right, Terry?
Working on it.
Yeah, he's working on it. And then, of course, we talked about the banking services contract, and I won't go into that again. So thank you for your attention. If there's any questions or comments, I'll be happy to take them and address them.
Thank you, Jerry. Any comments or questions? Jerry, just have a quick comment. I've gotten a lot of inquiries, obviously, with all the active members. There are some questions and unique circumstances that have come up. Do you think, or anyone, do you think would be helpful to possibly, in that newsletter, or just put together a short description of commonly asked questions for members on how this change potentially will affect things? I've gotten quite a few questions about people that were enrolled in the state system before being hired by the city and jumping into the ERS, kind of some of those unique situations.
Sure. Well, I think we'd be glad to say something on the newsletter. We're going to have also on our website, we're going to have a link that directs people to the WRS, the new hires specifically. And we'll have some general information. And I think it's a good idea to do frequently asked questions. And if you have some, Matt, to contribute, I would be glad to address them specifically. In a FAQ type document. We meet a couple times a week with the senior staff here, and you know, Mike Juke and Tristan have been telling me about the questions they've gotten, but I don't have a list at this point of frequently asked questions. But if you have some, we'd be glad to address them. Generally speaking, If somebody is enrolled in our system before the first of the year, they're going to remain in our system. And if they're hired after the first of the year, they're going to be in the WRS. It's pretty much rehires the same way. They go into the WRS. The only real exception, as Patrick has opined for us, is that if someone has been on duty disability and they get reinstated after the first of the year, that's not considered a rehire. That's a reinstatement for a previous hire, you know, prior to the end of this year, and they'll stay in our system. But I'm sure, as we both know, having been involved with the ERS for a while, that there's all kinds of unique facts and circumstances that arise. It's never surprising to me how interesting some of these, you know, back patterns can be. They're always things that you could not anticipate. You couldn't make this stuff up, as they say, right? So if you have inquiries from people, I'd be glad to take a look at them and get definitive answers for them and try to communicate to everybody, because it's very important. I'm sure a lot of people want to make sure that they understand what their pension benefits are going to be. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, the main one that I've gotten so far is just when their first retirement group was with the state, and then they have some years of service there, and then they've got hired with the city.
Sure.
And then but I can put that in your mail and send it to you.
There is reciprocity, and we can address that in a general sort of way, but when they really need to come in and get some counseling about the specifics of reciprocity, because it's really a detailed law, quite frankly.
Great. I will put together some things and send it in an email.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. Do you have anything else for your director's report?
No, I don't. That pretty much takes care of the report, and then you've got a couple of other items you want to talk about on the agenda, I believe. Informational.
Yeah, we're just coming up on that completes item four or item six. Moving on to item seven, informational. We have items A through H. Any comments or questions regarding those, or I will place them on file. Not hearing any comments or questions. The item seven, informational, item A through H will be placed on file, and I will entertain a motion to conclude the meeting.
Make that motion, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Ms. King. Do I have a second?
4 seconds.
Thank you, Ms. Ford. Any objections regarding? Not hearing any. Thanks, everyone, for their attendance today, and the meeting is concluded at 10:06 a.m. Thank you.